This evening, I have a mind to preach some from the 121st division of the Psalms of David, Psalm 121. And this psalm is often referred to as one of the ascent psalms. And I'm not sure where that information comes from, but I do know that it's often referred to as one of the ascent psalms, which means that the people of Israel, as they would be ascending up to Jerusalem to worship, that they would sing this psalm. And Psalm 120 through 135 are often referred to as ascent psalms. You know, during some of the annual festivals in Israel, all of Israel would go up to Jerusalem for these feasts or these festivals. And as they journeyed, I'm sure most of them walking long distances, they would join in with others, and groups would be together, and they would camp together and sing together and visit together as they journeyed up to Jerusalem. And they would sing these psalms. Well, tonight I want to look with you at Psalm 121, and it's really, well, let me read the psalm to you in the beginning, if you'll give me your attention. Psalm 121, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this day forth and even forevermore. Isn't that a beautiful psalm? And when you and I leave home in the morning, that would be a good psalm to think about and meditate on as we travel around from job to job or house to house or whatever we're doing. Just keep this in mind and pray that God would keep us as we travel. It's a beautiful psalm as we think about traveling. And the truth is, we're all on a journey. How many of y'all know your own life's journey? Some of these little kids are just getting started. Some of us have been on the road a long time. But I'll tell you, whether you're little or whether you're old, you need God to be with you. Would y'all agree with that? We all need the Lord. And the journey of life requires it. I remember the night I was ordained here as a minister of the gospel, my Uncle Joe had a few words to say during the ordination. And he said to me, he said, Sammy, he didn't even call me Brother Sammy. He just knew me as Sammy. He said, Sammy, the hill you've started climbing is a steep hill, and there's a lot of slick places. I had no idea at that moment what he was talking about. I had no comprehension. But looking back over about 60 years, he was right. It's a steep hill and a lot of slick places. But I'm here to tell you all tonight, God has been with me every step of the way. Now, let's look at this beautiful psalm tonight. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. How many of us need help? How many of us need help daily? I remember talking to Elder Elsie Spear one time about a passage over in the book of Hebrews where Paul said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help, grace to help in time of need. And I asked Brother Spear, who was an old man at the time, I said, what is that time of need? He said, Brother Sam, I think it's all the time. Would y'all agree with that? Now, obviously, there are times when we need more help, like when we're sick or dealing with a loved one who is near death, or we've been in an accident, or we're struggling financially. But the truth is, we all need God's help on a daily basis. I do, and I'm sure all of you do. And what should we do when we need help? Let's go to somebody that can help. Why keep going to places that can't help? Why don't we go to the one that can help? Instead of lifting our eyes up to Washington, D.C. or Atlanta, why don't we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help? See, Jerusalem was on top of a hill, surrounded by hills. It was a beautiful place. Jerusalem was well situated on this earth as a beautiful place. And as the people of Israel would ascend to Jerusalem to worship, they would see the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Now the help did not come from the hills. But you see, they would have to lift up their eyes to see God, and they would see the hills. You know, sometimes, beloved, when we're dealing with struggles, we just want to be cast down. We want to look down. We want to be discouraged or despondent. No, what you and I need to do is lift up our eyes unto the hills. And you have to do that. David said, I will lift up mine eyes. When y'all are dealing with life's problems, and I'm sure everybody here has got something you're dealing with right now, and some of you may have five or six things you're dealing with right now, I want to encourage y'all to lift up your eyes unto the hills, your eyes of faith. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. And let me tell you, those hills are magnificent, aren't they? They're gigantic, they're solid, they're stable, and would remind us of the God that made them. You know, all of nature preaches to us. If you have ear to hear, nature preaches to you and to me. It does me. I've been talking to y'all about hummingbirds, and I tried for a while to get them and couldn't, and I finally came up with a recipe, and I'm telling you, I'm swarmed with hummingbirds. And they are amazing. They can hover in midair. They can fly upside down and backwards. Did y'all know that? You know why they hum? They forgot the words. Just a little humor there. But hummingbirds are amazing creatures. They're just amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God, but so does a hummingbird. You know a scientist on earth that could design and create a hummingbird? No. Only God can do that. And nature preaches to us, and the hills declare his glory. And David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. I love that. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Did y'all hear that? Your help is coming from the one that made heaven and earth. He just said, let it be, and he spoke the universe into existence. Now I want to tell you, that's an incredible God, isn't it? And that's the one that has promised to help us. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And when you just stop and really meditate for a few moments on Genesis chapter 1, I'll tell you, you'll just stand in awe of the Creator when he began to say, let it be, and it was so. And he created the heavens and the earth, and all things that are therein. And this God that created the heaven and the earth is the one that helps us. Now verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. That is, as long as you and I lift up our eyes and look to Him for help, and we're trusting in Him, He will not suffer our foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, if you and I get out here in the world and we forget God and we get careless and we don't read our Bibles and we don't pray and we don't go to church and we don't meditate on the Lord and stay close to Him, brother, we're in slippery places. But you know, all of us can read our Bibles. I bet you everybody here today has got a Bible in your house. Probably got more than one. And you probably got one on your phone if you're... I got them on my phone. I even got them where they'll read the Bible to me. Now, why did God give us the Bible? He gave us the Bible to read and to study and to remind us of our God. And if you and I will keep our eyes lifted up to God and trust in Him, He will see to it that our feet will not slip. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Listen to that. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall take the weekends off. Is that what the Bible says? Now, you can count on God Monday through Friday, but you're on your own on the weekends. Wouldn't we be in trouble? No, so we live and move and have our being in God. So the psalmist says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Can you believe that? There's a being in the universe that never gets tired, never gets weary, and never has to take a nap. And you know who that is? That's God. I remember when Elijah was meeting with the false prophets of Baal, and they were going to have a contest to find out whose God was really God that day. You remember? They had a contest. And the prophets of Baal cried out to Baal all day long. 450 false prophets were bowing down before Baal and begging him to come down and leap up the sacrifice that had been placed on the altar. And he just didn't show up. Y'all remember that? He didn't show up. And those prophets were so desperate, they began to cut themselves and let the blood flow, trying to persuade their God to show up and show out. But nothing happened. So Elijah, the man of God, who was very courageous and had a little sense of humor and some sarcasm, you know what he said to those false prophets? Why don't y'all cry louder? Maybe your God is taking a nap. Maybe he's gone to sleep. Or he may be on a journey. Y'all cry out. Try to get his attention. That was brave, wasn't it? I'm telling you, Elijah was a courageous man. But you know what? Their God never showed up. But Elijah's God did. And I want to tell you, Elijah's God is your God and my God, and he never takes a nap. So you can take a nap. When y'all lay down at night, isn't it wonderful just to be able to go to sleep? You know, when Nelda and I first got married and we were living in Cochrane down on 2nd Street, one night I was sound asleep. She woke me up in bed and said, Sam, there's a noise in the house. Somebody's in the house. And she shook me and finally got my attention and told me again. And I said, honey, can't you just trust God? She reminds people of that a lot. Can't you just trust God? I went back to sleep. Now, listen, I'm all about the Second Amendment and having guns and all that. I've got one, but it's not loaded. I shouldn't be saying that on the internet, should I? I got a baseball bat under the bed. I don't know if that would help or not. If they got close enough, it might. But I want to tell you what. I can go to sleep because my God isn't going to sleep. And y'all need to remember that. The God that's keeping us doesn't wear out, doesn't get tired. Boy, I do. I tell you, there's just nothing better than to be tired and be able to lay down on a good mattress and go to sleep, knowing that God, your God, is awake He's watching over us. He's keeping us. Listen to the text again. Behold, he that keepeth Israel. And listen, we're spiritual Israel. We are the children of God through Abraham. Behold, he that keepeth. I like that word keepeth, don't you? He that keepeth Israel. He's keeping us. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I've heard people who worked on the midnight shift say that occasionally they would doze off. Well, no sir, not this God. He is going to be there watching over us at all times. This is an incredible, incomprehensible being that we have gathered here tonight to worship. But I want to tell you, he's our God, and he's our watcher, and he's our keeper. Now, notice in verse 6, he said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. See, if you were on this long journey to Israel, on a festive occasion, and you were journeying, and you didn't have an air-conditioned vehicle to ride in, the sun, which is a blessing to the planet, a great blessing beyond imagination, but if you're out there in it all day, the sun could be dangerous. People have sunstrokes, but the text says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. You know, at night there would be dangers, wild animals, beasts of all kinds, maybe storms. But the promise is the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all entering into this psalm tonight? This is for you. This is your psalm. It's my psalm. I want y'all to live in the light of it every day and every night. You know, there's a lot of repetition in the Psalms. Things are just repeated over and over and over. Like, his mercy endureth forever. No matter how many times that's mentioned in the Psalms. Now, why all this repetition? Did you know that repetition is the mother of learning? If you want to learn something, you've got to repeat it over and over and over. You may hear a good point in a sermon, and if somebody asks you about it right afterwards, you don't even remember it. That's why it's a good idea to have a piece of paper. And if you hear something good, you know, write it down. But repetition is the mother of learning. And if you hear it over and over and over and over enough, eventually it becomes a part of your mindset. And I think that's one reason why the Psalms repeat things so many times, because some of us are not real good learners, and we need to hear it over and over. The Apostle Peter is an old man, told the brethren when he was writing his epistle, he said, Jesus, let me know that my time on earth is about gone. But he said, I want to stir up your pure minds. I want to put you in memory. In other words, I want to... He wasn't ashamed to say again and again what he'd already said. So in the Psalms, we are reminded of the faithfulness of God, that he keeps us, he watches over us, he is our helper. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. You know, beloved, I honestly believe this, that I have known people in my journey that were so close to God and so full of faith that in the worst of life circumstances, you wouldn't even know they were having trouble. I've been around people like that. They just didn't panic. They weren't filled with anxiety. They were just trusting in God and leaning on the everlasting arms. You remember when the disciples were on the boat and Jesus was asleep? And a storm came up. Now, Jesus, as a man, would sleep. He did get tired. But he was a man of faith. And in that storm, he was sound asleep. And his disciples woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yes, he cares. I want y'all to know he cares. And he's going to be right there with you no matter what you face. I want to share this experience. I shared it briefly this morning at Oak Grove, but Friday afternoon, Sister Judy Phillips called me and said, Brother Sam, Debbie wants to talk to you. I had mentioned going up to visit with them, and Sister Judy would said, well, she wouldn't even know you were here. But she called me Friday and said, Brother Sam, she wants to visit with you. And I said, well, I'll come right on up. And I did. And when I got there, I saw a very, very thin, feeble woman. I doubt if she weighed 70 pounds. And she was so weak, she could hardly talk. Debbie was, I've known her since she was a little girl. But she's now very sick, very feeble. And she's trying to talk to me, and I could hardly understand what she was saying. But she would, in her feeble, weak condition, she couldn't talk, but she could smile. And I'm telling you, that would be the sweetest smile. I just wish y'all could have been there and witnessed it. The sweetest, the most peaceful smile. And finally, she was able to talk, and she said, Brother Sammy, I want you to preach my funeral. And I said, I'll be honored to do that. And then she just smiled, and then she said, I appreciate, and she couldn't say anything else. And I couldn't understand anything else she said. So I said to her husband, Pete, I said, when she's feeling a little stronger, please find out what she was trying to tell me. And that afternoon, she could write it down. She wrote a lot. And she said, tell Brother Sammy I appreciate him coming, and I apologize. Now get this. I apologize because I couldn't have but one eye open while I was talking to him. She was so weak, one of her eyes was closed. But still, that countenance, that peace. Do y'all believe in dying grace? I believe when the time comes for you and me to depart this world, I believe the grace of God can reconcile us to where we are just ready to fly away and be with Jesus. I saw that Friday afternoon. And Saturday morning, about 9 o'clock, the Lord took her spirit out of that suffering, thin, frail, sick body and gave her rest. She just went to sleep in Jesus. Did you know, I like that song. We used to sing a lot of Sleep in Jesus. Y'all remember that song? Used to hear it at funerals a lot. That's what it is. When the body dies, all that happens there is that it just goes to sleep. A minute ago, I told y'all how sweet sleep is. And when a child of God dies, they're just resting. And that's, I know I've told y'all 100 times, maybe 100, let's hear it 101. That out there is just a motel. You just check in for the night. And you'll be checking out in the morning of the resurrection. I want to tell y'all, this is real to the child of God. And I was blessed to see it in Debbie, Friday afternoon. I tell you, I praise God and thank God for that experience. And I've been blessed through the years to be with a number of people who were near death and have seen that same experience. You know, recently I was in Augusta for a funeral, and Sister Evelyn Skipper, I shared with her an experience that she told many years ago when I was pastoring up there. She said, after a sermon one day on the resurrection, she said, Brother Sammy, she said, I had a little sister that died when she was about 2 years of age. And she suffered her whole life. She was in pain due to some illness. And you could see the pain in her expression. But she said, when my sister died, the sweetest smile came over her face. And she said the whole family witnessed it, and it was so comforting. What do y'all reckon happened then? I tell you, I believe Jesus Christ was right there and took that sweet little child into glory, and a smile covered the face. So the psalmist would say, The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil and shall preserve thy soul. We believe in preservation. As Old Baptist, we believe that God has preserved his elect family in Jesus Christ, and they'll keep for all eternity. You know, if you open a can of preserves and they're spoiled, you know what that tells you? They never were preserved. Because if it's preserved, it doesn't spoil, right? And if you're going to preserve something like pears or whatever, you want to preserve it in a clean container. I remember Mama, when I was a kid, we used to preserve a lot of vegetables in cans or bottles or jars. And one thing she would do is always boil those jars and get all the bacteria out of them. Because you don't want to put your pears in a jar that's got bacteria in it. It won't preserve. Well, I want to say to everybody tonight, God, our Heavenly Father, preserved us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Y'all think we'll keep? I see some heads nodding. You know, last time I was here, I talked to y'all about it. I'd like for y'all to respond a little more. Brother Bob Lord told me that night. He said, Brother Sam, what you want us to do while you preach? Just get up and raise two thumbs? I said, that's not a bad idea. Preachers like to know you're getting it. I know people come to church tired, sometimes sick, heavy laden. But I want y'all to leave here encouraged. That's my privilege tonight, to point y'all heavenward to somebody that can help you. And He's already preserved us in Jesus Christ. And the devil's not going to get us. I heard about an old tomb found in Louisiana, way back in a little country cemetery. And it only had one word as an epitaph. Kept. Kept. You know who's keeping that body? God Himself. He's watching over it. It doesn't matter if they went down in the ocean. Doesn't matter. God is keeping that body. So He says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Listen to that. When you're going out of your house, when you're coming in, you know, it was a practice among the Jews to have a little box at their door where they would go out and it would have a scripture, and they would touch that box and remind them of this passage. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth even forevermore. I want to tell y'all tonight, God is keeping us. I heard about a man one time who was going on a trip, and he was going to pray with his wife and kids. And he said, Lord, while I'm gone, would you please take care of my wife and children? And when he finished, she said, who do you think's taking care of us when you are here? Ooh. It's not daddy. It's not the husband. It's God. He needed help just as much as his wife and kids. And I want y'all to leave here tonight knowing that you've got a God in heaven that's keeping us. Thank y'all for your good attention tonight.